Well, we are actually getting close to wrapping up 2 Corinthians. We have three more messages in 2 Corinthians. And the title of this sermon series has been, We Live by Faith and Not by Sight. Now, in our passage this morning, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul continues to defend his integrity and apostolic authority against false teachers who were undermining his credibility within the Corinthian church. His focus in this passage seems to be mainly on the issue of their greed. So if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to 2 Corinthians 11? We'll be looking at verses 9 through 15. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 11, 9 through 15. When I was present with you and in need, I did not burden anyone since the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my needs. I have kept myself and will keep myself from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows I do. But I will continue to do what I'm doing in order to deny an opportunity for those who want to be regarded as our equals in what they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no great surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will be according to their works. Okay, so now to understand what Paul is saying, we need to understand that Paul is actually doing two things here in this passage. First, it's a defense of his apostleship against false teachers in Corinth, specifically by his refusal of financial support from the Corinthian church. But then second, we see that he exposes those false teachers, those false prophets, for who they were. Okay, so let's go back to verse 9. When I was present with you and in need, I did not burden anyone, since the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my needs. I have kept myself and will keep myself from burdening you in any way. So by refusing support, Paul wanted to show that his ministry was not driven by personal gain, where the false apostles, in contrast, were seen as selfish and deceitful. You know, a mentor of mine once told me there are basically three things that cause pastors to fail: lust, pride, and greed. Here, Paul is reminding the Corinthians that his ministry was not driven by greed, by personal gain. He's showing the stark contrast between himself and those false apostles who were exploiting them. We as pastors will always head in the wrong direction toward failure when we let greed get a foothold in our lives. Pastors have stolen from churches, gotten caught up in gambling, been involved in scams and scandals because of greed. But doesn't this whole thing about greed apply to all of us? I mean, any of us can easily get caught up in greed that leads us into sin. It can rob us of time. Time that should be spent with God. Time that should be spent with others, especially family. It can rob us of our finances through making poor judgments, poor financial decisions. It can rob us of our most precious relationships. And it can rob us from our testimony for Jesus. For all of us, we need to be content with what we have. You know, Paul talks about himself in this way in Philippians 4:12. I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. And then the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Now, this is not saying that we shouldn't work hard. And it's not saying that we shouldn't apply for promotions. The issue here is what drives you? What are your priorities? As soon as money and possessions drive you and are your priorities, you're headed down a very dangerous path, headed toward pain and suffering. But the question really is, what do you seek first? Is it God and His kingdom? Or is it something else? Can I encourage you sometime this week to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's going on in your heart and then make those needed changes? The next we see in verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. So he starts off by saying, as the truth of Christ is in me. Paul is calling Christ, in a sense, to be his witness. And the message actually puts it that way. It says, with Christ as my witness. The next we see that Paul tells them that he will continue to tell those around them that he took no money from the Corinthians. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. As the truth of Christ is in me, my boast of independence will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. He would be saying that he has remained independent financially from them by working and receiving funds from some of the other churches. So what Paul is saying is, I go to different churches in this area, I want you to know that I'm telling them that I'm not taking any money from you. So I think in order to really understand what's going on in this verse, in verse 10, we need to attach it to 11 and 12. So let's look at those three verses together. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows I do. But I will continue to do what I'm doing in order to deny an opportunity to those who want to be regarded as our equals in what they boast about. In verse 11, we see that Paul is not telling other churches about his not taking money from the Corinthian church because he doesn't love them, that he doesn't care about them. It's not to harm them. It's not to humiliate them. He does love them. He deeply cares for them, and he wants what's best for them. So in light of that, there are probably at least two purposes for Paul saying this. One purpose is to tell the Corinthians what he's saying to the other churches, to keep things honest and open. And it's interesting, the message actually puts verse 11 that way, where it says, it's not that I don't love you, God knows I do. I'm just trying to keep things open and honest between us. You know, this is something that we need to understand that's so important. We need to be open and honest with each other. Hiding things is like a ticking time bomb that could go off at any time, harming us and those around us. But then second, we also see in verse 12, his purpose for telling the other churches was to help the Corinthians and the other churches in Achaia see what's going on with these false apostles. But I will continue to do what I'm doing in order to deny an opportunity for those who want to be regarded as our equals in what they boast about. Paul begins by saying, I will continue to do what I am doing. Now, it seems best to understand that he here is talking about continuing not to take money from them. And as we see, the purpose is to not give these false apostles opportunities to boast, but also, as we see in the Living Bible paraphrase, I will do it to cut out the ground from under the feet of those who boast that they're doing God's work in just the same way we are. Folks, there will be times in our lives when we need to stand up for what is wrong, that we need to speak out especially when it is something like what's going on here with Paul that will have far-reaching impact. But then let me say two more things about that. First, you need to ask the Lord what He wants you to say. You know, we can really mess up when we just speak out of anger or self-righteousness or maybe even out of guilt. But then second, speak the truth in love. Folks, our motives for what we say or do is so important. Pastor Josh, some time ago, spoke about how we should view the sins of the world around us, and that's with sorrow. Sorrow for others comes from a heart that cares, comes from a heart that loves. And when you truly understand what sin does to us and those around us, it will break your heart. Then next, in verses 13 through 15, we see three things. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no great surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will be according to their works. Okay, so first we see who these guys really are. And then second, we see that Paul likens them to Satan. And then last, he describes what their end will be. Okay, so first we see who they really are in verse 13. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Here we see three things. First, they're false apostles. Some of the other versions of the Bible puts it this way: counterfeit apostles. Another one says pseudo-apostles. And one just says phonies. False apostles were those who claimed to be an apostle without the divine commission necessary for the work. Now, to help us understand what this means, we need to understand what the word apostle means. Literally translated, apostle is a sent one or a messenger. It was typically used for someone commissioned by a higher authority and set out to speak that higher authority's message and represent him. Paul was an apostle of Christ. Christ had sent him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So false apostles would be those who were not commissioned and sent out by Jesus to preach the gospel, and therefore preached a different gospel. You know, Paul actually says this. We saw this back 2 weeks ago in verse 4 of chapter 11. For if a person comes and preaches another Jesus. Now again, he's talking about these false apostles, these false teachers. For if a person comes and preaches another Jesus whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or as we're talking about this morning, a different gospel which you have not accepted, you put up with it splendidly, or you take it hook, line, and sinker. One of the Bible commentators gives us three ways to discern a false teacher. And these are three reasons Paul could so confidently believe that these teachers were disguising themselves as apostles. So the first sign of a false teacher is their attempt to discredit true Christian teachers and preachers. These false apostles, by discrediting Paul's authority, were trying to build up their own following in the congregation. And then the second sign of a false teacher was their self-serving methods. These false teachers in Corinth were boasting about their own credentials, comparing themselves to Paul. Their methods should have been a clue that these teachers were not looking out for the Corinthian spiritual welfare, but instead looking out for their own financial welfare. They wanted to consolidate power over the congregation, and the way they handled their authority revealed their greedy goals. Also, their methods were causing division and conflict in the church. Instead of building the Corinthians up in the faith, as Paul had hoped to do, these teachers were tearing down the church in order to put together their own following. They were not building on the solid foundation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the final sign of these false teachers is the message that they preached. As we just saw a few minutes ago in verse 4, it was different from the true gospel that Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Apollos had preached there. Folks, we need to beware of people who twist the Bible to say what they want it to say, who speak half-truths, things that seem to maybe sound kind of true, but they're a little off. Then next we see that they are deceitful workers. Now the Greek word translated here as deceitful communicates deceitful intent with destructive motives. These are those who craftily disguise themselves as a genuine minister of Christ to mislead believers for their own gain. These individuals are actively and skillfully engaged in deception. They know what they're doing. Then last, we see that they disguise themselves as the apostles of Christ. The Greek word translated here as disguise means to change outward form or appearance of something, to alter the outward appearance in such a way as to deceive or to feign to be what one is not. They make themselves appear to be different than what they really are. You know, like wolf in sheep's clothing. Okay, so what are they really? Well, we see that in verses 14 and 15. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, so it's no great surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will be according to their works. So we see here that they act like Satan, pretending to be angels of light. Now, there are at least two ways we can understand what Paul's saying about Satan as an angel of light. Okay, so what is this light? Well, first, that this light is truth. That Satan disguises himself as an angel of truth. He pretends to tell the truth. But we all know that he's a liar. We see back in John 8:44, he's a father of lies. Talking about Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he's a liar and the father of lies. But then the second way of understanding what this light was is that it is enlightenment. It was wisdom. That he disguises himself as an angel of enlightenment. You know, it's interesting that Satan used both of these on Eve. First, he says to Eve back in Genesis 3:4, "You will not surely die." Folks, this is a bold-faced lie. We know it was a lie because Eve died spiritually, and she did die later on physically. But then second, in the second verse, verse 5 of Genesis 3, he also told Eve that if she ate the fruit, her eyes would be opened. She'd be enlightened, knowing good and evil. And then also, if we go down to the next verse, verse 6, we see that Eve saw that the fruit was desirable for obtaining wisdom. Again, that she would be enlightened. You know, Satan hasn't changed. We see him using the same ploys today. He appears as a truth teller and one who enlightens, but he is actually a liar and darkens our understanding. Then last, we see in verse 15 of our passage this morning that these false apostles were actually Satan's servants, doing the same thing that Satan did. So it is no great surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. But also, as we think about this, notice that last phrase about what their end will be. Their end will be according to their works. One Bible commentator says, in the end, their fraud would be exposed for what it was, a ruse to divert Christians from their devotion to God, and they will get what their actions deserve, God's judgment. And then another commentator says this, there's a popular saying in our humanistic, godless society that says, the end justifies the means. But in God's final judgment, these men will discover that their means, deceit, lying, etc., will justify their end, eternal punishment. And you know what makes all of this even more serious is we see in James 3:1, not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. As we wrap up this morning, let me give you just three takeaways. The first is, we need to remain faithful to the gospel and not compromise our beliefs for the sake of popularity or acceptance. Second, we need to be discerning and cautious of those who might try to lead us astray with false teachings or deceptive practices. And then third, we need to be mindful of our own behavior and strive to live according to God's will, knowing that we will be held accountable for our deeds. So in closing this morning, can I ask everyone to bow your heads and just close your eyes as we reflect on our time together? This morning we talked about the gospel, that those false apostles were teaching a different gospel. So what is the true gospel? Well, it's the good news about Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and that the wages of that sin is death, eternal separation from God in a place the Bible calls hell. Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, and was resurrected from the dead so that we could receive forgiveness of all of our sins, have a relationship with God right now, a new life in Jesus right now, an eternal home in heaven. How about you? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins? And you see your need for Jesus as your Savior from your sins? If this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life. Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Maybe you've been caught up in making money and getting possessions, the goal of your life. Maybe it's been what you've been seeking first. Or maybe you haven't been open and honest with people. Folks, whatever's going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.